All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. We got Arash Markazi, sports columnist for the LA Times, hopping on. Arash, thanks for taking some time and joining the show.
Of course, thanks for having me.
All right, you're in Chicago. You're ready for All-Star Weekend. Why don't I start with this? Because you're there, just your thoughts real quick on the Lakers closing out the, I can't say the first half of the season because they're 53 games in, but closing out this portion leading into the All-Star break. What'd you think of that win yesterday against the Denver Nuggets? Lakers now 41-12.
That was a huge win. You know, I mean, like they've had a lot of signature wins. I think when you look at who, you know, the top seeds are, certainly a team that they could play either in the second round or in the conference finals. That's a quality win. A quality win on the road. And that's the one thing that this team has really showed, their ability to win away from home. And so I think that's the true test of a championship team, the ability to win away from home, close out a series potentially like on the road. So that was a quality win.
Yeah, I thought yesterday was, I don't know, for me, I thought walking into that game, I hyped it up because I felt like it was going to be a playoff atmosphere. I felt like it meant everything to the Denver Nuggets. That's kind of their barometer of seeing, okay, where are they this far into the season? And I think it's just another reminder that the Lakers and the Clippers, they're on a tier of their own in the Western Conference. Everybody else is behind them.
I would agree with that. And, you know, I really do hope that the Clippers finish with the number two seed, just because that is a series that I really do want to see in the conference finals. I don't want them potentially playing in the second round. I have no doubt at this point that the Lakers will be the number one seed. I think when you look at the rest of the schedule for them, unless something unforeseen happens, you know, they will be the one seed. I mean, at this point, I hope the Clippers do get the two seed. So that's the conference finals that we get.
Yeah, it's interesting, Arash. This is actually a good topic. It's a good conversation. I think everybody probably sees it a little bit differently. But if you're a Laker fan, and I know for you and for a lot of people here in Los Angeles, there is that's the powerhouse in the Western Conference. But it's such a unique series because they've never faced each other in the playoffs, and this would obviously be the first time, and it would come at a time where both teams are so much better than the rest of the West. Do you want to see the clip? Let me put it the right way. I know you want to see it just from a competitive standpoint, but if you're a fan, do you want to see the Clippers and the Lakers go up against each other, or would you rather see the Clippers get upset and you don't have to face them because that's such good competition going into the Western Conference Finals?
No. I think those are the top two teams in the West. Those are two of the top three teams in the league outside of Milwaukee. And so, I mean, I think generally speaking, I mean, first of all, I think would be great for Los Angeles to have a potential seven-game series here at Staples Center here in Los Angeles. I would much rather have the Lakers and the Clippers play in the conference finals as opposed to the Nuggets or someone else. I mean, I know what you're saying, but I think it would be that much more rewarding for the Laker fans out there if they defeat the Clippers on the way to the NBA Finals.
It's kind of funny, you know, in sports in general, right? You're just kind of thinking about your team. How do you get there? You don't care how you get there. Just win it all, you know, that type of a thing. But I definitely understand the part of a seven-game set. The Lakers and the Clippers, it's never happened before, obviously at Staples Center. There's a lot of storylines between these two franchises right now, so I think it only makes sense. And by the way, I don't think there's a way that anything happens in the playoffs without these two franchises going up against each other. Who do you think, who would you say has the edge right now between those two franchises? You got one team that's on top of the Western Conference, and you got another team that's 2-0 against the Los Angeles Lakers. Who do you think has the edge from this point on?
I am going to go with the Lakers right now, but I mean, I have kind of like always felt that this is a seven game series, despite the fact that the Clippers have won the first two games. And I think, you know, I mean, listen, I think we can get to a place where they might win all four games during the regular season. And I'm still going to say that's a seven game series. So I like the Lakers slightly because of their size. And I do think there's the outside chance that DeMarcus Cousins could come back for the conference finals. So you're talking about, you know, Anthony Davis, JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard, you know, DeMarcus Cousins. I just think that size advantage will help them in a seven-game series.
Yeah, that's got to be the strength for the Lakers. I mean, aside from LeBron James and Anthony Davis, obviously the two best players, that's the best duo in the NBA. I put that to the side. The Lakers' size in general should be a big advantage for the Lakers. Arash Markazi, sports columnist at the LA Times. joining the Sliwa show. Arash, I want to kind of transition here. I want to talk a little bit of baseball. Just your thoughts. Today, the Astro players kind of started their apologizing, tried to make it as sincere as possible. What did you think of today, just in general for baseball? What did you think of the Houston Astros trying to show that they are remorseful for what they did in 2017?
I mean, I thought it was terrible. I mean, I think there was a few people who were remorseful. Like, I don't think anyone was genuinely remorseful. I think they apologized because they had a team meeting and they had to, I think they were told to apologize. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was so many people out there, you know, like those apologies you hear from time to time where someone says, I'm sorry if you're offended. I mean, that's the way that the apology came off to me, where it's like, we're sorry. I'm sorry for like the organization and for the game of baseball, whatever, whatever, but we're excited to move on. And for 20, it's like, well, you know what? We're not ready to move on. And by the way, like, that title should be vacated. I don't know what Major League Baseball's thinking. I mean, they do this investigation. They punish the team. Like, anyone who's been associated with that has been fired. They probably won't work in the game again. I don't understand how you can continue to call them the 2017 World Series champions. Now, I don't want the Dodgers to accept the World Series championship in that way, and they wouldn't. I'm just saying vacate that title. So I wasn't satisfied with what I saw today, and quite frankly, I'm not satisfied with what Major League Baseball has done. Because if I'm a player, and not a single player was suspended one game or fined a single dollar, I mean, what's to prevent a player from trying to do that again in the future?
Arash, let me say this first. Couldn't agree more with you. The apologizing today, Did it seem like it was genuine, that it came from the heart, or did it feel like it was scripted? And listen, I know there's only so much that they can say. The damage has already been done. You can't take any of it back. But I thought today was kind of BS. I got to be honest with you. And Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, saying that he didn't feel like it impacted the game. What the hell is he talking about? It was all kind of, you know, when I'm hearing some of these interviews, it's just, to me, what, I don't know if baseball thought this would just kind of get swept under the rug, or the Astros thought, okay, you know what, we're just going to put our hands up and say, hey, we're sorry, yes, we did this in 2017, but it's okay, today's a new day, it's 2020, I didn't buy any of it. I was very disappointed with what happened today. And to be honest with you, I don't have a solution either. I don't know what they could have said or should have done or whatever the case is to make me feel any different.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, if there was a genuine apology, that would be one thing if they were to talk about exactly what they did. Because to be honest, I think there's a lot of things that they did that we don't know about. You know, whether it's the devices, whether it's the buzzers, whether it's more than what was actually in the report. So, the fact that they didn't really genuinely, sincerely apologize, A, and then B, like, would not get into the specifics of what they did, when they did it. I mean, these are questions that we want to know about. And again, you know, it's not something that we're going to belabor the point during the course of the year. But before the season starts, before the first, spring training practice or game or whatnot, these are questions that you need to talk about. And so, again, not satisfied with what the league did, not satisfied with what the players said. And quite frankly, again, the fact of the matter is, if you go to Minute Maid Park and there's a 2017 World Series Championship banner up there, that's a joke. That is quite frankly a joke, and it should not be there.
Arash, why don't you think MLB vacated the World Series? Because I'm with you that it doesn't make sense. And I'm not saying give it to anybody else. I'm just saying in general,
exactly.
why didn't they strip it from them?
You know, they for whatever reason, they don't want to go down this, hole of, trying to change the past, which is what we've seen in college sports, right? Where like they'll like vacate a title or vacate wins. All I'm saying is this is a unique circumstance. Or by the way, you better hope it's a unique circumstance. Mm-hmm. So this is not something that they're going to do on a regular basis. It's not the first time something like this would have happened. Back in 94, as you remember, there was the player strike. There was no World Series champion that year. That was unfortunate. This is unfortunate. So again, in 2017, you had a team cheat in a way that we've never seen before using technology. They've apologized. Again, everyone associated with that in terms of higher-ups have been fired. So how can you just allow that team to be called the champions? They shouldn't. They should vacate that title. And you know, I've gotten no indication that they're going to do that. Hopefully, you know, there's more of a groundswell of support for that. Again, I'm not, like, asking for that title to be handed to the Dodgers, but there's no reason that the Houston Astros should have that trophy. That is just wrong.
Yeah, that's the part that, you know, I just think 2017, okay, nobody gets a title. You know, I mean, yeah. I think players out there and other teams that either lost to the Astros in the postseason or, you know, obviously faced them during the regular season, whatever the case is, they'll probably feel a little bit better. All right, as long as they didn't win as well, because really, what is the repercussion? I know they lost picks.
Well, real quick, here's the thing. Like, imagine someone apologized for stealing something from you, and mm-hmm. they still have what they stole from you.
That, of course.
And so they apologized for stealing
But they
something,
kept it.
But then they kept it. And it's like, well, but
so,
you know what?
So
like,
what's the repercussion?
That's the problem. That's the problem. Not a single player, imagine this, was suspended one game or fined $1. Not one game, not $1. So, like, what was the repercussions of this? And you got a Jim Crane, who's worth over $2.5 billion fined $5 million. I mean, he made more than $5 million during the course of the
World
Series.
Of course he did.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, the whole thing is a joke. You know, it doesn't make me feel any better. Like, the fact of the matter is they still lost that World Series. But, again, there is no reason why the 2017 Houston Astros, you can keep your rings, you can keep your shirts and hats or whatnot, and you can have those moments. You can't take that away. But that trophy should be returned to the commissioner of baseball. That championship banner should be returned. That they cheated to get it. And if they did a long investigation, and they proved it. Again, this is a unique circumstance. So, again, the league better hope it's unique, and the league better hope that this is something that they don't have to deal with in the future.
Yeah, this is that's the part that I'm having trouble kind of digesting is, if there's no repercussion, then what stops somebody else from doing it down the road? And I mean that honestly, and I'm not saying that
is,
but there literally is not a repercussion. The Astros may have faced some certain things, but they still got their chip. They got their championship. All that stuff is still there. Yeah. And I know it will be stained, but still that it's still there. I got to ask you real quick about the Dodgers. 7 years in a row, they've won the NL West. Obviously, this is a team that's favored to win it all again this season. Them and the Yankees probably top two in MLB. What gives you more hope this year than the previous years that the Dodgers can get it done?
Well, you get a player like Mookie Betts, and Alan, this is like the Anthony Davis trade. I think he's a transcendent talent. He's a top five player in the game. And so I think when you get a player like that in the mix, that's a game changer. That's not just a good player. Again, it's a transcendent player. I think David Price has a little bit of something in him, hopefully. And again, let's not forget about these young guys. And we saw that during the course of this past season, and I think we're going to see it moving forward. The farm system that they've developed, these guys are going to come up and showcase what they can do. So it's really the most talented team on paper. And again, we've said that before, but quite frankly, it doesn't matter how many wins they have during the course of the season, because I think that they could win 110 games. No one's going to care if they win 162 games. They got to win the World Series. And they have the talent this year to do it. And Mookie Betts, that press conference, that when I was watching that, I'm like, that could be the turning point. We're going to look back at that trade as the turning point for this team.
Well, you know, the Dodgers are going all in, and exactly what they should. So we'll see how things kind of pan out, and looking forward to Arash catching up soon. But I appreciate you taking some time and hopping on the show.
My pleasure. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, that's Arash Markazi right there. L.A., I got a question. What should baseball do to the Houston Astros? And what I'm referring to there is, should they keep that 2017 World Series? Does it matter? Or is there enough right now where there's such negative publicity towards the Houston Astros that even if they keep it, it doesn't mean anything? The perception, what most people think is that they obviously cheated their way to a World Series. We'll talk about that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show.
Meow.
114-114. Boston and the Clippers. 10 seconds left to go. I'll keep you guys posted on this. Chris in Sherman Oaks. Chris, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Alan. Big fan. Love the show.
Thank you, man.
So what I want to ask about is Danny Green. I know you've talked a lot about him before, but we didn't want to give up Danny Green and Kuzma for Morris, right? Mm-hmm. But in a tight game last night against the Nuggets, Danny Green's not even on the floor in the fourth quarter. So what's the point of hanging on to him if we're not going to play him in clutch moments?
So, I think this is what happens in predicaments like that. There's certain games, and I appreciate you calling in, there's certain games somebody's got it going. Somebody's got it going, right? So I'll use as an example, how are you going to get Alex Caruso off the floor yesterday? You can't. You shouldn't. It's not smart if you do. You know, it's looking at your sheet of paper and saying, well, this is what we're going to do, and not having a feel for the game. Vogel made the right decisions yesterday. It was the right decision to keep KCP in. It was the right decision to have Dwight Howard in the game. It was the right decision to have Alex Caruso in the game. Danny Green, I said this before the trade deadline, all right? Danny Green, I feel like, come playoffs, he's going to win us a game. It's going to be a game three, need the W, maybe you're on the road, whatever the case is, and Danny Green's going to hit 5 3-pointers. And we're going to win that game because of Danny Green. That will most likely happen in the postseason because we've seen Danny Green do it before. Now, I'm also going to say that I've been disappointed in Danny Green this year. I guess I felt like he would give more on a night-in, night-out basis. I think KCP's actually been more consistent than Danny Green this season. I can make a case that KCP's been more consistent than Danny Green, and Danny Green's on a two-year, $30 million contract, $15 million a year. To answer your question about yesterday, he shouldn't have been in the game yesterday because other players were playing better. Matchups were different. But that doesn't mean that Danny Green is not going to have opportunities, and it doesn't mean that Danny Green isn't going to be on the court in key predicaments and key situations in this final 29-game stretch. All right, let's keep going. Okay, Taylor in Burbank, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Taylor.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for calling in.
Yep. I want to talk about, so I think we're having a pretty great year. I give us a B+, I'd say, but watching Rondo out there, he fails to get AD going, fails to get the other guys going. Do you think that he's the answer there in the playoffs to run that second unit without LeBron on the court? Or, I mean, I don't.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Taylor?
No.
Okay, I thought we lost you for a second there. Okay, so you, keep going on your point. You said it was a B+, but keep going on your point.
Yeah. So I mean, I watching the game last night and, mm-hmm. and Rondo once again just failing to get people like AD, Kuzma, KCP going. I mean, I saw one crazy statistic that he's with him on the floor with AD and no LeBron, they're almost minus against other teams.
Yeah, that has not been a good combination.
And I mean, I think I'd rather just see LeBron run that show and have, I mean, a guy like KCP or Danny Green play the two and no Rondo in that second unit because, I mean, it is more of a hindrance than benefiting us right now, I'd say.
Yeah, Rondo, for everyone out there who has talked about, everyone who has talked about Rondo, you know, kind of back and forth over these last, let's say, month and a half or so, I guarantee you if Rondo was sitting here right now, he would say, okay, I got to play better. You know, and I don't know what Rondo has left the rest of the season. I don't know. My hope is come postseason, Rondo is that playoff Rondo that we've all labeled him, right? That's the hope is that's what we're going to get from Rajon Rondo these final 29 games and in the postseason. But I have no idea what Rondo is going to do on a night-in, night-out basis. I really don't. Jess, what do you think about that? Like, think about this for a second on Rondo, okay? So he's getting decent playing time. It's not like Rondo's playing 30 minutes a game. So it's not like coach is having him in where he's dominating the minutes. Where I get confused with Rondo plays better with LeBron on the floor. Everybody plays better with LeBron on the floor. But Rondo on his own, I think the Lakers are struggling.
Yeah, I mean, it's so
even Rondo
weird.
And AD, the Lakers are struggling.
Yeah, I think it's so weird. And, I mean, Rondo at this point, like, I personally feel if they're going to keep him, they're obviously waiting for that playoff Rondo.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously waiting for that Rondo who takes control and command of the games. And I'm fine with that. But, you know, at this point, he's not that. Regardless of how, you know, bad he's playing, he can do better, and he will do better. But just give him time. We don't need him right now. Keep playing with Caruso. Keep playing. And it's not even
get to
the
that
fact,
final stretch and then go from there.
Keep that final stretch, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not even the fact that, you know, it's rotations. Like, I feel that NBA in particular, these coaches get kind of very held to their rotations, and they don't want to kind of steer off that. But, I mean, sometimes you just got to go with the hot hand. And Caruso right now is that hot hand.
Yeah, and it's not even just Caruso, but it's...
It's a lot of the whole bench is really playing well.
But it has more to do with if a player's not doing well, you got to try something different. That's why I hear a lot of Laker fans say, hey, why don't you throw Quinn Cook in there? Right? Try Quinn Cook out. Or why don't you give Troy Daniels more opportunities? There's a lot of Laker fans that think that way, too. In their mind, they're saying to themselves, if something's not working, let's try something different. All right. Is it Renee in Calabasas? All right, Renee, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Renee.
Hi, Alan. We spoke over the summer. You said call any time. That was when we were in Laker hell with not knowing management and what the heck was going on.
Things have changed, right?
Yes, dramatically from the lowest point. 33-year season ticket holder with the Lakers. When you talk about Caruso, he really reminds me of a Kirk Rambis. You know, day in, day night, he goes in, he gets gritty. It may not show up in the box score, but he does the dirty work that needs to be done. Fighting for the 50-50 balls, fighting for the rebounds, occasionally scoring when he's open. That's what I really like about Caruso, and I think he really needs to be in that lineup. I think it's very, very important because come playoff time, those 50-50 balls and all the dirty work that needs to be done, that's the difference between winning and losing.
Renee, who are you rooting for tonight? Are you rooting for the Clippers or the Celtics?
Ah, the Celtics. I can't stand the Clippers.
Isn't that so
I'm
weird?
I'm happy when they lose.
Isn't that so weird? All right, I appreciate you calling in. Well, I don't have a good update for everybody. As we're sitting here right now, the game's in overtime. Montrezl Harrell makes one of two free throws. And the Clippers are up 117 to 114.
Come on, team, lose. Go lose, team, lose.
The one time,
lose, team, lose.
By the way, of course this happens, right? The one time in my life that I cheer for the Boston Celtics.
I'm telling you, you just got to cheer for a team to lose.
This happens a lot, too. Whenever I do my predictions with Funches on Lakers Talk, I always give my looking ahead, and I'm always wrong. Like, every time I pick the Lakers to win, they end up losing that game, and vice versa. So you know what I did? I tricked the system.
You went along and said...
Tricked the system.
You...
I said Lakers are going to lose to Denver, and I said, Funches, you know exactly why I'm saying that. Lakers got the W.
So it's all your fault. We
gotta
have those 12 losses.
Got to trick the system.
I blame you now, Alan.
Arash Markazi doesn't need an introduction. Sports columnist at the LA Times. He's coming up next. We're going to talk Lakers. We're going to talk Dodgers. 8 o'clock hour. I want to talk about the Houston Astros. Such a trustworthy organization. Such a trustworthy organization. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, if you're tuned in right now, obviously you are, just go ahead and pull off on the side of the road and throw on this Clippers-Boston Celtics game. 134 to 130. Boston with a 4-point lead in double overtime. Tatum absolutely killing it for the Boston Celtics. Jess, find out how many points he has. I'm curious to see what he's got in this game. All right, real quick here. So the conversation, pitchers and catchers report earlier today, and the Houston Astros, such a trustworthy organization. It was just comical today in my mind. Comical from the Houston Astros trying to answer questions about how they cheated their way to a World Series in 2017. Let me say this too. I don't enjoy this conversation. I really don't. You know, I hate it for baseball. And baseball, it's not my favorite sport. You guys all know NBA is by far my favorite sport. But man, there's going to be a stigma around baseball, and I don't know how long it's going to take to kind of wipe that off. The Houston Astros absolutely cheated their way to a 2017 World Series. And the owner of the Houston Astros, Jim Crane, had a very, very great explanation to see if it affected their World Series.
You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
I want to go ahead and play that one more time so you can hear it again. Here is Jim Crane, the owner of the Houston Astros, on if the cheating affected the games.
You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, what are you talking about? What do you mean it didn't affect the game? You cheated to win the World Series. You are the owner of the Houston Astros. Impossible that you can think in your mind that knowing what pitches are coming, having the answers to the test, doesn't affect the results of the World Series. What the hell are you talking about? How disingenuous is that comment from the owner of the Astros? How is Jim Crane not sitting there throughout the entire interview today basically saying, we screwed up. That's it. I take responsibility for it. This can't happen under my watch. And it did happen. This is completely my fault. You know what? Go take that 2017 World Series from us because we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. There were other teams out there that earned it or that deserved it more than we did. And I've already said this, and I don't need to say it again. I'm not one that has to sit here and have the conversation and say, okay, well, take that World Series away from the Astros, hand it over to the Dodgers. No, I don't agree. I don't think that should happen. Or take that World Series from the Astros, hand it to the Yankees or the Red Sox. I'm not making that claim. And the reason why I say the Red Sox and I say the Yankees, those were the two teams that Houston got through to eventually play the Dodgers. By the way, the series against the Yankees went 7 games. The series against the Dodgers went 7 games. So in those two series, yeah, the cheating definitely didn't have any effect on the results. My bad, Jim. You know what? How dare us ask that question? Here's Jim Crane continuing this wonderful interview about his Houston Astros.
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically, you know, as the commissioner said in his report, he's not going to go backwards. It's hard to determine how it impacted the game, if it impacted the game, and that's where we're going to leave it.
But you said it didn't impact the game. You literally said it didn't impact the game. I know he was probably uncomfortable. I know it was probably a very uncomfortable situation. But hey, your corporation, your organization that's under your watch, if you just don't cheat, you don't have to have this conversation. I don't know if MLB baseball is going to do anything further. I really don't. I don't know what's going to happen with MLB baseball moving forward. I don't know if there'll be more disciplinary action to the Houston Astros. But this is what I can tell you. They lost some picks. I'm not going to say that's not valuable. They lost $5 million. I don't think that's very valuable because of how much money these professional teams make, how much their net worth is. $5 million is the max. I think that they have the ability to find these to find Major League Baseball clubs. Okay, the money part, some picks, this is going to affect them a little bit later in the future. The issue is this. When you go, like me and Arash Markazi were talking about, if you go to Minute Maid Park, there's going to be a banner up there that says the 2017 World Series champions is the Houston Astros. That's BS. If I go online right now and I type in who won the World Series in 2017, it's going to say the Houston Astros. That's BS. That should not be the case. John mentioned, and he had a good point. He mentioned it earlier. He said, look, one of the things MLB baseball is worried about is what if down the road there is more sign stealing that was going on, that more teams were doing this? Okay, are you going to then vacate the 2016 World Series? Are you then going to vacate the 2018 World Series? That was one of the points John was making that MLB baseball doesn't want to get into. So what does that mean then? That means it's okay to steal, because the way I look at it, and I look at it as a fan, and I know this is a personal thing to LA because you had a chance at a World Series, the first one since 1988. So I know this is different for LA than it might be in some of these other cities that weren't competing for a World Series. But how about just talking in general? In my opinion, MLB is saying it's okay to cheat. What does it stop another team down the road from doing it again? If the repercussion is not you lose your World Series title, well, then they still got their World Series title. I know it's never going to be the same. I know every time we look at some of these players, we're never going to look at them the same. I know we're always going to associate cheating with the Houston Astros moving forward, but that's still not good enough for me. personally, I think it's impossible to still have a World Series, a banner hanging up at Minute Maid Park, or the perception to be that, yep, the 2017 World Series champions is the Houston Astros. All right, I'll ask LA. I need some help on this one. What should the MLB do? Anything more that they should do? Should they vacate that World Series? Your phone call's coming up next, 877-710-ESPN. This is the Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. That might be my favorite quote of the year. I know we're not very deep into the year, but Jim Crane, owner of the Houston Astros, didn't impact the game. Very next quote, I never said that. Don't you dare. I never said that. All right, I want to get some thoughts from LA here on the Houston Astros and just such a trustworthy organization. Such a trustworthy organization. Brian in Pasadena. Brian, you're on 710 ESPN. What do you think, Brian? What do you think of the stripping the World Series title? For me, I don't care what you do, and they've already done a lot, but that's got to go. That has to go.
Oh, heck yeah. I definitely agree with you. I mean, Alan, love your show, but I really want to propose this to MLB, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Strip the titles, take away the trophy, right? Like what you said, take away the banner. But, okay, what we need to do is remember this incident, right, from 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So what they should do is let them hang a black banner, something that wipes something away, right? So they'll always have that in their stadium, right? So whoever goes into that stadium will question, what is this? Why is there a black banner? So we'll always remember this whole incident.
I'm going to tell you this, Brian, and I appreciate you calling in. I think they would approve getting stripped of a banner and stripped of a World Series before putting up a black banner. And I'm just referencing the Houston Astros. Look, this is the best way for me to put it. You cheated, right? You did. Like, there's nothing more to it. This isn't a long conversation to have. It sucks because there's certain players, whether it was Altuve or Springer or Bregman, ballers in baseball that you're like, damn, these guys are just so good. It's the equivalent of watching other players, you know, in the NBA and just kind of marveling at their talent, at their craft, at their, you know, obviously this is their occupation that they do on a night in, night out basis. Now I have no clue if any of that was real or it wasn't. Or I do have a clue. You know what? Maybe they weren't the players that we thought. I mentioned this to Mace a little bit earlier today. I was talking about how, okay, so all of a sudden, I'm going to watch more Houston Astros baseball just because I'm curious to see if all this was legit. I mean, imagine if Altuve doesn't have anywhere near the season that he does, or Bregman doesn't, or Springer. Imagine if these guys are that bad this year. Then you just kind of know, all right, everything they did was fake. Just wasn't real. Frank and Gardena, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
I'm a first-time caller. Yeah, just listening to you guys talk earlier, I'm just thinking, like, why didn't they do something like what they did with USC and the Trojans? You know, like, let them play the season if they're that good, but don't let them be able to get into the postseason. You know what I mean? Yeah, mm-hmm. You take away the picks. Yeah, you charge the guy $5 million or whatever it is, but have them play the season. If they can do that to USC for Reggie Bush's mom getting a house somewhere, I can't see why they can't do that to him.
You know, it's funny, Frank, when you think about that. I'm going to use the college football reference, right? So there are certain schools that get stripped from their national championship, SC being one of those schools. These players in college football and college basketball are making millions for the universities. Let's not sugarcoat it. This is the reality. Just go to a game at the Rose Bowl, go to a game at the Coliseum. By the way, go to one of those two games when they're both actually good and see what's happening. They're making them millions, right? Reggie Bush was one of the most unbelievable athletes to watch in college, in any college sport. That's how good Reggie Bush was. And they couldn't get paid, right? And whatever side that you stand on for that, okay, people are going to say, well, they are getting paid. They get a scholarship, their education. Doesn't matter where you stand on that.
this is real cheating. I mean, the Astros, like, you can't cheat any worse than they did, and that World Series banner is still there. It doesn't get any worse than this, and that World Series banner is there. I thought today was pathetic. I really do. I thought it was sad for baseball. And I don't know how long it's going to take to trust the game again, you know? By the way, maybe that just takes a couple years. Maybe it just takes a couple months, and I'm back in, and I'm like, okay, you know what? Everything seems legit again. But still, it's going to be in the back of your mind. And I know the steroid era, that comes up. These players were juiced up, and you know, Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco, all these guys were just jacking home runs like nothing. I know that era comes up. I still feel like this is a different type of cheating. Yeah, the answers to the test. You didn't earn it. You just showed up and you had the answers to the test. John and Glendora, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, John.
Hey, what's up, man? I couldn't say any better. The perfect word is pathetic. These guys, Altuve and Bregman went up there and they were so scripted. They did not sound remorseful at all. And this is a complete joke. They should be stripped of their title. And these guys are going to be walking around with a chip on their shoulder with their title. But if you strip them of their title, you know, there's no more ring. They're still not going to get respect from anybody. If a guy can't be in a league because he bet on a couple games that had nothing to do with the outcome of the game, and these guys had everything to do with the outcome of the game, and these guys are going to get to play next year and hold their rings.
Yeah,
this is completely ridiculous. And every time I hear another story, like the original story coming out, then the emails were released in the New York newspaper or something like that, and then now we're on to this news conference. It just gets worse and worse and worse. It's pathetic.
And John, and I appreciate you calling in. Here's where I think this is the most important part of the whole thing. Look, I have listeners that obviously want to talk about this. This has been the story for the last month about Major League Baseball. Your fans are everything. You cannot screw up your fans when you're one of these leagues. People don't understand this, and I'm going to help you understand it. The fans are everything. Okay, so without the fans, this is just the power and the control that fans have. And this is the reality. If the fans stop watching baseball, that obviously affects the revenue coming in, the rights fees, the TV ratings. It affects everything. So that's the power that the fans have. If the fans stop walking into games or stop going into ballparks, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but this is the power that the fans have. I don't think there's a fan of MLB baseball right now that's a fan of Major League Baseball. And you could be a purist that's been watching the game since whatever, 50 years you've been watching it, or it's somebody that is 20 years old and just been watching over the last 10 years. Whatever your view is on baseball, right now you have a very, very bad taste in your mouth about the game of baseball. That's sad. You know what I mean? And again, it's not to say that a fan base won't turn back around. It's not to say that people aren't still going to go. Mason and I were talking a little bit earlier that 3,000 Dodger fans bought tickets to Angels versus Astros because they want to go and boo the Houston Astros. Maybe you're going to games for different reasons. Maybe you have more interest in the game now than you had before because there's so much discussion about it. But nonetheless, it's for the wrong reasons. Solomon in Lake Balboa. Go ahead, Solomon.
Yeah, Alan, thanks for taking my call. Longtime Dodger fan since 1958 when they came here. I'm not happy. That news conference was pathetic. They do need to be stripped of their title. But here's the thing. I think they should be held for damages in some way, shape, or form. I don't know how you do it, but they ruined careers. They got Joe Girardi and his entire coaching staff fired for losing that season. You got to pay for that. You just can't smile and say, oh, well, they lost. Oh, no. There were ramifications. You, Darvish, was run out of town. Clayton Kershaw, you ruined his legacy, or you enforced the legacy of, yeah, he's just not good in when it comes to crunch time in the playoffs or the World Series. You can't get away with that. There's too many ramifications from that cheating scandal beyond just that you won the series.
Solomon, appreciate you calling in, man. Thank you. It's the most anticipated title fight in recent history as undefeated heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder takes on 29-0 Tyson Fury in a rematch that has that the world has been waiting for. Live on pay-per-view, Saturday, February 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern. This is going to be a good one. Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, the rematch live on pay-per-view, Saturday, February 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern. This is what we'll do when we come back. Clippers, by the way, lost to the Boston Celtics in double overtime. The Boston Celtics, you should be ashamed of yourselves, Laker fans, for cheering for the Celtics tonight. But I'm with you. I'm with you in that, rooting for the Boston Celtics. This is a question, actually, I want to propose. And by the way, if you guys want to hit more on this MLB baseball stuff, no problem. I'll get into it. We're going until 9 o'clock tonight. But one of the questions that I have for Laker fans out there, do you want to see the Lakers and the Clippers face each other in the postseason? Is that something that you want to see? Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710. Hey, we should probably stop airing that promo.
It's in the rotation.
Should probably go in a different direction on that one. Maybe mix it up. Rod in San Diego. Rod, appreciate you calling in, bud. You're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, what's going on, Allie?
All good. Just kind of talking some Lakers and then talking about the Houston Astros. What are you interested in chatting about?
I mean, a couple things. First off, I know for a fact that like the NFL, they have this thing where the owners, they vote if they want to keep the commissioner or if they want to change the commissioner. I mean, I'm not like a big, I'm just like you. I'm not a big follower of the baseball, but I'm kind of like a casual fan.
Sure.
I'm not sure if the owners have the same, you know, rules as far as if they get to vote, if they want to keep the same commissioner or not. But if that's the case, I really feel like this commissioner just voted himself out of a job for next year when the vote comes back around, because it's obvious that he's catered to one organization. I mean, I know there's like, you know, fine details to everything that's inside, but if you think about it, he screwed everybody, the other, you know, 29 teams.
You know, Rod, what I don't have the answer to is, I don't know if Rob Manfred is basically, and I appreciate you calling in, Jess, I don't know if he's in a weird way protecting the league. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if any of this stuff comes up unless some players start admitting it, right?
And, yeah.
And it feels like one of those situations where they want to keep as much of this under the rug as possible. And you let a little bit out, and they're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
And now, a little bit more. And then now you got more media saying, no, we want more. Tell us more. What happened? I don't want to know that you stole signs. I want to know how you stole signs. I want to know when you're circling the bases and you're holding your chest and you don't want anybody to rip open your jersey. Is there a reason why you did that? Like, people are now looking for more answers, and I wonder if the commissioner of baseball, by doing what he's done so far, is trying so hard to kind of sweep everything under the rug or not let people check what's under the hood.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of the commissioner's role, is to be able to kind of navigate through these tough times. And I mean, if anyone in that position, I mean, you would want to try to do the same thing. You want to try to control what's coming out. I mean, obviously, I'm assuming they know everything because they're the ones that do the investigation. And
you want to paint the picture. You want to tell the narrative.
And I mean, something like
this.
And
it's a wildfire right now. Right now, nobody's...
Exactly.
You know, I think there's egg on a lot of people's face.
And
And for today to be day one of pitchers and catchers reporting, and this is how much baseball that we've talked about.
I mean, we haven't even mentioned the Dodgers, really. But outside of this, it's just, you know, it's taken. And it's part of it because they sounded so unremorseful, and it just sounded fake, to be honest.
Scripted.
Straight up, it sounded scripted. Yeah. I mean, the PR people were probably right there, handed them a note card. They probably had a computer screen right there.
Let me tell you something, which is sometimes the absolute worst thing that you could do.
Yeah. Today, for example.
Today is a perfect example of that.
You don't want... Like, this was the Astros' chance to come out and basically own it and say, yeah, it happened, you know, whatever. I don't even know what you can say to that. But,
let me ask you this, Jesse. If you did something... And you accomplished something, and you did it cheating. How does that feel good? You know what I mean? Like, if you're if you're the players there, how did you walk around for 2 years, 2+ years, comfortable and okay with doing what you did? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if nobody found out, they weren't going to come out and turn themselves in. Let's put it that way. How do you feel good about doing that?
I mean, the Astros have been, there's been all these little things coming out. I mean, Buster Olney, I think, was the one who said that there's been, they've known about this for 3 years. There just hasn't been any real definitive
evidence.
Proof.
There
hasn't been anything it's just been like little, we hear a banging here or a whistle, whatever. And it's nothing that's been.
You can't tie all the pieces together and say, this is what happened. Now we know it for sure and all that stuff. But if you're these players, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know how your conscience can kind of live with you, especially you're at the top. You're a peak athlete. This is what kids dream of doing. This is not AA ball. This isn't even college baseball.
But the competition,
this is major
right?
league.
But what I'm saying too, Jess, the competition. If I'm playing basketball and I'm playing pickup, okay? If I'm cheating, let's say I'm doing something on the basketball court to get the win, to get the W, that doesn't feel good. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're cheating at something, these guys lied about it for this long, and then today are going to come out and say, we are so sorry.
No,
I feel so bad. I'm so sorry.
No, they don't. They're
pathetic.
Sorry they got caught.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. They're just sorry they got caught. That's all it is. It's,
And if they didn't get caught,
it's equivalent to, in high school, stealing the answers from a teacher, or your friend gives you answers to a teacher to a test later in class. I mean, yeah, you got the A, but in the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, I didn't really deserve it. I mean, it's totally completely different context, but it's the same thing in principle.
Mm-hmm.
You cheated. You knew the answers. You knew the pitch that was coming, and it's. I almost hate talking about.
No, I know. Listen, the conversation is awful. The conversation, it really is awful.
You don't want to give them the time of day because Alex
Bregman,
who said, we're all human, we make mistakes. Yeah, I made a mistake not taking medicine when I first started realizing I was getting sick. Yeah, I made a mistake maybe cheating on a college test once, but I'm not out there.
It's crazy to me that they were able to all kind of keep it together for that long.
Yeah.
And then players get traded and all this. I mean, that's just...
That shows, crazy. there's a lot more underneath that we don't know. And honestly, who knows if we ever will know, because it took this long just for that to come out.
Well, I could tell you this. I'm sure there's a lot of people that want to know more. All right, we're going to... We go very, very local on this show, as you guys know. We'll take a look at everything going on in LA and we come back. If you guys want to be a part of the broadcast, 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. A lot of old school reggae. A lot of old school reggae. Okay, so
yeah, I'm on.
This is what we do. Typically we do this at 8:30. I got caught up, took one phone call, started talking baseball.
We are a show of the people.
Listen, I'm a baseball expert now. Buster Olney.
Not quite.
Buster Olney, my you know what. Okay, so let's do this. Jesse, give me a quick idea. What was local today? What do we have going on? And this goes out to all the sports going on locally. What do we have?
So the big thing today locally was the Clippers traveled to Boston and they lost.
Double overtime game.
OT.
What was the score?
141-133.
141-133. How about last night? Lakers go to overtime against the Denver Nuggets. I was talking about on the postgame show. That was one of the best games of the year. That's followed by a Boston Celtics, Los Angeles Clippers game. Clippers now, by the way, for fans that are interested in the standings, they got 18 losses. Lakers got 12.
Five games behind the Lakers.
Five games behind
place.
The Lakers and a six-game cushion in the loss column. Obviously, that is humongous. And Lakers still got another shot against the Clippers. I know we all want to see that, but...
The Lakers have two more chances because they still have to make up that postponed game.
We haven't heard much about that, so
no,
I don't know what's
sure
going to happen to it.
They might just kind of wait towards the end of the season once everything gets through. And, I mean, we still have the memorial service that's coming on the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that'll get down the line. But the fact that we have two more chances, which Now you look at those games as tune-up games.
100%.
Whether or not you're going to play the Clippers or not, you look at those games as like, all right, do we have what it takes to beat the Clippers? And if we don't, what is it that's going
to
be?
Right. By the way, you're just going to have to try and figure it out now.
Definitely,
at this point, you have your roster. At this point, they have their roster. Tomorrow, I want to do this. We'll do it. We'll spend some time. Sleeper show back tomorrow, 6:30 to 9, after Mason and Ireland. We'll talk about Lakers and the Clippers, that matchup. Do you want to face the Clippers in the postseason? Would you rather avoid them? We'll do all that tomorrow. But it is big to know that Lakers still have so many chances against these top echelon teams, which I'm excited about. I don't care as much about the win and the loss. I care about fine-tune things. Go up against the elite in the NBA and see how you're doing as you get closer to the postseason, because these games in February, March, and April, I think, have a little bit more meaning than the games earlier, because now you have the roster that you have. That's going to be the team that you're rolling with.
Yeah, and you're going to be getting your roster ready for the playoff matches. And you know what? If the Lakers have that big enough lead, then they'll have the opportunity to experiment and try different lineups and just to see what works and what doesn't work.
Or how about in late March or early April, they decide, you know, Bron, sit these two out. Like, they can do that, and that's what you're hoping for. That's why I thought that win against the Denver Nuggets was so big for the Lakers yesterday.
Yeah.
All right, what else is going on locally?
So the Ducks are currently facing the Calgary Flames in Anaheim, and they are... It is only about, what is it? Let me refresh this to make sure I got it right. But they're down 5-0, so it looks like they're going to lose. That's
so
the end
Anaheim
of the
Ducks
period.
Down 5-0 to the Calgary Flames, and we know this. I think last week when we did this, Anaheim and the Kings are
both in the bottom pit of the Western Conference.
Okay,
NHL.
So not much hockey going on in Los Angeles. Anything else we got going on out here?
We also have some Pac-12 basketball.
Okay.
UCLA is playing against the Washington State Cougars. They are currently up 30-27 in the first period with about 2 minutes left in that. And USC defeated Washington 62-56 earlier today.
All right, so SC got a win. UCLA is up 3 in the second half. What's the latest with the standings there in the Pac-12? SC and UCLA making any noise or no?
As soon as my webpage will...
I do know this. There's, I think, two... They had two ranked teams going at it in the Pac-12. But give me just quick where SC and UCLA are.
So, hold on. Lost the page there.
It's okay. It's just live radio.
I know. You know, we're doing it live. So, USC sit at 7-5 and are one game behind...
in the Pac-12 standings.
Colorado Buffaloes and Oregon Ducks.
Okay.
But they're also tied... overall with the Wildcats and the Sun Devils.
Okay, so and, the two Arizona schools.
Yeah, and the Bruins sit a game and a half behind. So, you know, they're in the mix.
Okay, in the
but
mix.
You know, Pac, when it comes to college basketball, it's once March comes around that everyone
it's
starts.
It's true, but, you know, you would like to see SC and UCLA having more of an impact in the Pac-12. And we talked a little bit about it last week. SC, I think their recruiting in college football was number 10 in just the Pac-12. UCLA was number 6. Neither school had any of the five-star recruits come. So it's not a time for USC and UCLA that you want to kind of pump your chest out and you want to brag about how good your schools are doing. And to me, I'm going to continue to harp on this. It's unfortunate for LA because there's nothing like when USC and UCLA is playing top-notch Pac-12 football. There's nothing like when UCLA is a top 15, top 10 school in the country in basketball. So for me personally, I hate that both SC and UCLA are not making it happen in basketball and football. So I appreciate those updates. What else do we have? I know you got one more update that's very important to you.
We have one more update, but also want to mention that the Dodgers and Angels begin spring training today, and their first game for both squads is on February 22nd. The Dodgers face the Giants, and the Angels will face the White Sox.
All right,
and
so now, about 10 days away
about
from
10 days
from
away
that.
To
okay.
baseball, and now I'm excited for Dodger baseball to come back. So, but the biggest news this week in L.A., was not the Astros, not the Dodgers, not even the Lakers. It is the fact that WWE announced that WrestleMania is going to return to LA at SoFi Stadium next year.
So next year, what's the date on that?
March 28, 2021.
Okay.
Last time WrestleMania was here was in 2005, and it was held inside Staples Center.
Wow, that's a significant difference.
Oh, the past 7 years or so, they've been in football stadiums. It's a stadium event now.
Does it easily sell out? Like, no question about it?
Oh, without a doubt. Every year, without a doubt. WrestleMania is by far the biggest wrestling show
Who's the biggest wrestler right now? Who's the most popular?
I mean, it depends who you ask. If you ask Vince McMahon, he's going to say Roman Reigns. But I believe right now it is, I mean... It's really weird because the way the WWE does their stuff, Roman Reigns is like the face of the WWE. Becky Lynch, the man, she's the face of the women's division. Both of them are really, they're the ones that the WWE was sent out to every stuff. I mean, they both were here at SoFi Stadium this week for the press announcement. Seth Rollins is one that's getting a lot of traction.
So that's going to be a huge event at SoFi Stadium.
It's going to be a huge humongous event. And the best part of this, being a wrestling fan, and for everyone else who's a wrestling fan, and you know, I don't know if they know this, but when WrestleMania comes to your town, it brings the entire industry with you. You're going to see so much indie
shows.
For
LA.
Huge for LA. Yeah. Not only, you know, WWE takes, it's a week-long event. Mm-hmm. You know, starting Monday, there's going to be stuff. They have a convention show called Access where they have wrestlers from their undercard shows wrestling, you know.
It's a Super Bowl for wrestling, right?
You can definitely say that. Yeah. It's a Super Bowl for wrestling. And I'm excited. You'll see me there. I don't know where I'm going to sit, but I'm going to be going.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
That dude was the man back in the days. I mean, he still is the man, just in a different capacity now. You know, I do date back a little bit in wrestling.
Back in the days,
Razor Ramon.
Oh, Scott Hall, yeah. Jake the Snake Roberts.
You know,
Diesel,
obviously Ultimate Warrior. Hulk Hogan. Undertaker.
Oh,
Kane.
You're getting there. Undertaker and Kane are more recent.
I date back, but I don't know too much what's going on right now.
We'll educate you.
The chances Michael Thompson's going to be at that at WrestleMania.
You know what?
He might wind up in the middle of a basketball game.
It is in the middle of basketball, but if he has a chance, WrestleMania is too big of an event. I can see him showing up. Maybe not at the actual WrestleMania, but Michael's a big enough wrestling fan where he'll do some stuff.
All right, good stuff there. Appreciate all the local stuff. Listen, if there's good concerts or venues or events going on that you think this audience would be interested in, just keep us posted.
So, as we
kind of get going, maybe there's a good,
Well, I'll give you one right now. Next week, Bar Wrestling is at the Glass House in Pomona.
Okay.
It's Joy Ryan's wrestling promotion. It's all indie guys and some people that you see on the wrestling show, AEW, All Elite Wrestling. But it's mostly all indie guys, but it's probably one of the bigger LA indie shows. And that you'll always have a good time.
As we get closer to the days getting longer, obviously spring, summer, everything else, good beer festivals going on, good music acts going on. So just keep us...
Oh, everything.
We're going to let you kind of keep us in tune of what's going on, all right?
I will keep my eyes and ears to the sky and the ground, and I will find out everything that's going on in LA.
Sounds good, Jesse.
Yes.
Appreciate it, brother. Okay, so just a quick recap of what we did today. We talked Lakers and how you would grade them through the first 53 games of the season. 29 games left. That's it, by the way. Just 29 games left. And I appreciate everybody that called in and just kind of gave us their thoughts. Personally, for me, I gave them a B+. B+. I think some people think I'm way too critical. No. B+. That's great. But there's still a lot more to accomplish. And the fact that you have opportunities still at Toronto, Boston here, Clippers on the road, obviously still at Staples Center, the Philadelphia 76ers here, the Milwaukee Bucks here, Lakers have a fantastic opportunity the rest of the season to take on some of those teams that they've already lost to this year. So, when I say B+, basically what I'm saying is this. You've lost to the team that, you know, you think you're going to have to face in the Western Conference twice, but you're still going to have some opportunities to play them. You've lost to the Milwaukee Bucks. That's all right. That's a tough game. You're on the road. Milwaukee's going to come here, and hopefully you're going to take care of business and protect home court just the same way that the Bucks did. So you're going to have those opportunities. And then part of the other reason why, you know, I gave them that B+ is I'm just looking at some of the individual players on this team, and you know that question is going to kind of continue to be there.
what is Kuzma going to be the rest of the way? What are the role players going to be the rest of the way? Is there enough from the role players? Is there enough consistency on this team that you know, obviously helps push the Lakers over the top because it's championship or bust? We talked about MLB baseball and how the Astros are a joke. How the Astros owner Jim Crane is a joke after that comment about the cheating didn't impact the game. Just in general right now, the conversation of baseball is at a very, very bad place. It's unfortunate that an entire sport that is as popular as baseball has a perception right now of we don't know who to trust and we don't know who to believe. That's not what you want if you're a sport right now, second or third major sport in obviously in the United States. All right, if you missed any part of the Sliwa show, you could download the entire 2.5 hours on the Lakers Talk podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Just go to that channel. Thank you to Curtis. Thank you to Jesse. Appreciate everybody that tuned in. Right back at it tomorrow starting at 6:30. Tune into the morning show. Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ starts at 6 a.m. Have a good rest of your night, LA.